small points. Okay? I'm going to tell you what those points are ahead of time, and then I'm going to elaborate on each of those four points. So point number one is that because of who God is and what he has done, all people on the face of the earth have a duty to him. They owe him. Keep in mind, according to the Bible, he hates sin and he desires righteousness. Now, all people, including you and me, we have failed to respond properly to the things that God has chosen through the creation that he's shown, through the creation and by giving us a conscience. That's point number two. Point number three is that because God is a righteous judge, he has no choice in the matter, he has to punish all people who die with their sins. Okay, and point number four is that great cost to himself, God made a righteous way to reconcile guilty sinners like you and me to himself and make them into righteous people. Okay, so before I begin, I just want to assure you of one thing. God will get his way in the end. I'm going to read a couple verses from the end of the Bible, okay? Because these tell the story about the way it's going to go. He's going to get his way. And again, he's interested in righteousness. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. This is the end, folks. And his wife, that's the church, has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said, these are the true sayings of God. Okay? A little bit after that one, it says this. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So God will get his way. All right. So here's point one, finally, moving into this message. Because of who God is and what he's done, all people, all of us, everyone on the face of the earth, we have a duty to him. We owe him. So here's points that go along with that. That there is no other God besides him, the Bible says. Nobody, he answers to nobody. God created all things, and therefore, he owns all things, including you and me. This means that he alone has the right to rule over your life. God has made himself known already, even without the Bible, through the creation. The creation proves, whether you like to think of it or not this way, it's beyond, it doesn't matter. But the creation proves, according to the Bible, that God is all-powerful, and therefore he has all authority. As a result, he expects everybody, everywhere, doesn't matter where they are on the face of the earth, to acknowledge him as their ruler. God has also made his desires known to people by placing a conscience within them. And this conscience convicts them and tells them when they're violating his will. God commands that all people love him, honor him, obey him, and fear him in response to all these things that he has done. The question becomes, how have you responded to what the Almighty God has done for you? You should really take this seriously. In fact, I would go on the record right now and say that we all should take this more seriously than we currently are taking it. Because God holds your life in his hands, and he's very serious about this stuff. Okay, point number two. See, we're already one-fourth of the way through. Point number two, all people, including you and me, we have failed to respond properly to the things that God has shown through the creation and through the conscience that he's given us. People should fear and respect God. Instead, all people have lived as if God does not care about how they live. God says that people purposely block out the truth about him from their minds. It's like, you ever seen this? That's how people are, even if they don't try to be, they're doing this. They're blocking it out. And he takes offense at this. His wrath, according to the Bible, is continually being revealed from heaven. It's an ongoing thing, always. We have death, for example. Pat McMahon is dying. People are dying all around us. This is just one way that God is revealing his wrath. Okay? Everybody likes to think of God is love. He is. But he has this other side to him, folks. All right. See, the problem is that people tend to live for themselves rather than for God. They don't give him the credit that he deserves for all the things that he does for him. And living this way causes people to actually get distorted in the way they think about him and about themselves. They tend to compare themselves with other people, and they do this, and they measure themselves against, say, real bad people. And they decide they're not that bad. This is distorted. This is not the way God assesses people. His assessment is way different. Here's what he has to say, in case you've never heard this. These are some things that he uses to describe in the Bible, us, okay? He says that all people are guilty, in their, at least in their hearts, if not outright, physically, of sexual immorality, wickedness, greed, murderous treatment of other people, deceit, being haters of God, proud, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, and unmerciful. He declares that in themselves, in people, there's no one that's good, no one that's righteous. So try to imagine, though, what, from his perspective, because we're so used to looking at things from our perspective, put yourself in his proverbial shoes, okay? He graciously brought you and me into existence. He has graciously provided for. That's never happened to me before. Gotta have something like that to break up the ice here. Okay, so he's brought us into existence. He's always been providing for us. He's given air, water, food, all that. He's been doing that. Okay? And he's made himself known to his creation and his conscience. All of these things he's done. But instead of fearing him, people live as if he doesn't exist. That's how people generally, that's their nature. Like, I remember before I was a Christian, I didn't like the idea of thoughts of God at all. Anyway, God considers that type of living, that type of thinking, to be hostile toward him. That's the way enemies treat their enemies, okay? That's how God views it. Now, point number three. God, because he's righteous, he's a righteous judge. He's not like human judge that can accept plea bargains. He must punish all people who die with their sins. He has no choice. God's wrath, according to the Bible, is stored up against every human unless and until they repent and receive God's salvation. See, God is a righteous judge who must punish every single sin. If you were to let one sin go, just one, he would cease to be the righteous God that he is. So you might ask, well, wait, can't we make up for our sins by doing some good things? Well, this thought assumes that God can excuse your past sins. It makes him out to be less than the absolute righteous judge that he is. The Bible says it's impossible to make up for our past sins by trying to do good things that way. It's impossible. So our past sins already have made game over. We're unacceptable. The Bible says condemned because of our past sins. Also, if you think that you could do that, make up for your past sins, it actually demonstrates that you don't realize how bad your sin is in God's sight. He considers all people to be vile, vile creatures. Jesus said that if, for example, I'm just going to give you 2 points concerning just the heart. If you've ever gotten mad at someone or were driving down the road and did something with your hand, with one of your fingers or something like that, you're guilty of murder with your heart. That's what Jesus says. So don't, you need to identify with the concept of murder, because you all have done it. We all have done this. And another case is if you ever looked at another person with desire, say a man with a woman, you've committed adultery already. This is how God sees. He looks into the heart. This is what he sees. Okay. Now, thousands of times, just so you know, and you should be able to admit this, in your life, thousands of times, you have done things that you knew God didn't want. And you did it anyway. If you don't know that, you're not being real with yourself. So here's what that's like, folks. When you do that, when you do something that you know that he wouldn't be pleased with, you really are taking God off of the throne, because he's the king. He's God. And you're sitting down in that throne as if you have the right to do what he says not to do, as if you're the king. You make yourself out to be God. We all have done this, folks. It's vile. Now, you might be thinking, if all this is true, what hope is there for anyone, since everybody's done these things? In case you're wondering that right now, and you've never seen that before, I want to say, I'm glad. For the first time, you're seeing something about God and about yourself that's absolutely critical. Unless you see those things, you're never going to be saved. Okay? All people are rightly condemned. And on their own, they're not able to make themselves right with God. And let me put it to you a different way. Everyone who ever lived deserves to go to hell forever. That's what the Bible teaches. That's how we've treated God. And we can't make ourselves right by our own power. I hope you can get your mind around that. I've never heard that. Last point, folks. This is the good news. At great cost to himself, God made a righteous way, a just way, to reconcile guilty sinners and make them into righteous people. As we've already stated, all people are rightly condemned, and on their own, they're not able to make themselves right with God. But because God is merciful, here's where God's mercy comes in. He can't just say, oh, you tried hard. That's pretty good. Come on in. He can't do that. Because he's merciful, he made a righteous way for guilty sinners to be reconciled. To remain perfectly righteous, though, he had to still punish all the sins. Okay? They all had to be punished. So, what he did was, he sent his son Jesus here to take your punishment. Okay? Let me put it to you this way. If Jesus had not come and died in the way he did, everyone who ever lived would have to go to hell forever, because we can't make ourselves right. But he came here on purpose to take your punishment. That's a loving thing. Okay? When Jesus died on the cross, God accepted this death as full payment for our sins. And this, God demonstrated that he accepted it by raising Jesus Christ from the dead within 3 days. That's what the Bible says. Now, everyone who believes into Christ in this way, they receive remission of sins. This is where your sins lifted from you, gone. Because Jesus died as a substitute sacrifice for sins, God can now offer salvation while at the same time upholding his perfect righteousness, because all the sins were already punished. So you need to know one other thing, though, about this. God's way of salvation radically changes all who truly believe. Not only did Jesus, and this is very important because I find that a lot of Christians don't think about this. They really need to. This will wake you up. If you're one of these Christians who are sort of sleeping spiritually, not only did Jesus die to deliver us from the penalty of sin, hell, he also died to deliver us from slavery to sin, the dominion of sin over your life. See, God's ultimate purpose was not to deliver you from hell. Jesus made that possible, but that's not the ultimate purpose here. It was God's plan all along to create a holy, righteous people who love him and obey him. That's what he was after when he sent his son. He had to take the condemnation out of the way to accomplish this, but what he's really, the ultimate goal here, is righteous life. So let me read to you a couple of verses to prove this. For the saving grace of God has appeared to all men, instructing us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here, listen to this. This gives us the purpose for him coming, ultimately. Who gave himself for us that he might deliver us from all lawlessness and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. That's the ultimate purpose. See, the natural way of living insults God. Unacceptable. Are you living for yourself and pursuing happiness your way rather than living for God, seeking his desires and his interests? See, God considers that type of living as independent living, autonomous living, rebellion. Okay? It's insulting to him. If you insist on living that way, if that's the way you're living, you're headed for hell. I just want you to know. This is why you must repent and begin relating to God as your king. There's no other choice here. The following words of Jesus show that this is serious, all or nothing situation. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. He said, whoever's not willing to die for me, he can't be my disciple. These are serious things, folks. I hope you understand the gravity of the situation. It's not a casual, oh, I have this doctrine I'm believing. I'm all set. Nuh-uh. There has to be reality of Christ in you, folks. Otherwise, you're in trouble. Just so you know. Your part in this is to entrust your life totally to him from now on. You must let go of your life. Surrender completely to Jesus to begin following him. Jesus said we must be willing to keep following him, even if some people want to make fun of you or they're threatening to kill you. You must continue to follow him. He says, only as you're following and trusting me in those really tough situations, that's when we'll know that you're a true believer. And only those who persevere under those circumstances to the end, they have to persevere to the end, only those ones will be saved, according to Jesus. So the good news is that God has already proven his love for each and every one of you. In that while you were a sinner, Jesus died for you. And because the way is now open, all who want to come may come. Whosoever may come. So if you want to begin following Jesus, you need to heed his invitation. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So if you surrender your life to Jesus and follow him, he will begin to change you inside. You will increasingly hate the sins that you used to love, and you will increasingly love to do the things that please God. I strongly urge you to heed Jesus' invitation and begin following Jesus right now. If anyone wants those Bible references, stuff like that, they're in this little pamphlet, if you're curious.